Please, thank you.
So thank you for the introduction. So today I would like first present you the kind of device that let's say, what are our tools, kind of Lego components. Then I'm going to show you two experiments of quantum simulations that we performed. And I hope this can be somehow a background for discussion in the next few days. But so I will first start from the integrated photonics part, and then I will jump on the quantum simulation side. So in our case, what we are doing quantum simulation using single photon states. So first, we'd like to show you which kind of technology we adopt, and then how you can adopt this technology to perform quantum simulation. So more specifically, I'm going to show you how to implement quantum works using on-chip devices. So we use quantum optics approach because in the last 20 years, quantum optics has shown to be a very good benchmark to carry out tests on the foundation of quantum mechanics and also quantum information processing. So we have seen that the complexity of the apparatus increased in the last decades. That's why many groups started to move towards on-chip devices. So the technology I'm going to show you, it's a joint collaboration between Sapienza, which is the quantum side of the collaboration, while the chip I will describe are fabricated at Politecnico di Milano in Italy in CNR. And these techniques of fabrication is the following one. You have a substrate, you focus a laser inside your substrate, you have a pulsed laser, this pulsed laser is tightly focused inside the substrate, and then by this you can have a multiphoton absorption phenomena which can lead to a permanent change in the index of refraction of your material. So what you can do essentially is you can write a waveguide, a fiber, which is inscribed inside your material. Then by moving your substrate, you can then engineer any geometry for your waveguides. So this is a real-time video which shows how you fabricate. This is a substrate. You focus the laser from a microscope. You now see a white spot here. And this white spot is essentially the plasma which is inducing the change of index of refraction inside your device. Now you can move your sample, as I've seen here, and you can get almost any geometry for your waveguides. And this is how you fabricate the sample. So now you can imagine this is a kind of animation where you start playing with the capability to move the sample in any direction. And in the following animation, you see a device where you have four optical modes, four waveguides, which go up and down. And these waveguides can be coupled via some beam splitter in different directions. So in that case, what you have, this is the movie is going ahead. What you have here is essentially a four-mode device, which is a kind of fast Fourier transforms between these four optical modes.
So what is the resolution of this? Like how wide is the blue line and how close can they be made?
So typically, the waveguides have a diameter of something like 4-5 microns. So it's not nanophotonics. It's the sample has typically a size of few centimeters. And the typical distance between the waveguides is few microns. So the advantage of this platform is that it is pretty. So if you see the waveguide here input, this distance here is typically 125 microns. The advantage of this platform is that it is very easy to send light in and out of your device. Not being nanophotonics, it's pretty simple to get in and get out. So this makes this platform pretty flexible in different frameworks. Any question is always welcome at any moment. So the first step that we performed, this was now in 2010, was to fabricate the beam splitter with this approach. So you have two waveguides, the white one. You brought closer the two waveguides in the central part. So you have one optical mode here and one optical mode here. And then you can get the coupling between the two optical modes by exploiting the evanescent field. So now you can engineer the distance between the waveguide, as I said, few microns, the distance, the length of the central part, and these two parameters will determine how the two optical modes are coupled, and this means what is the reflectivity and transmittivity of your device. So this was the first ingredient. Then what you can do, you can start playing with quantum optics, and the first step was to do a non-Gumandel effect. So what you do, you take your beam splitter on a chip here, you have a laser, you excite a nonlinear crystal, you create a pair of photons, one photon here, one photon here, you send the photon in single mode fiber, light is going in the chip, it's interfering in the chip, it's coming out with two single mode fiber, you have single photon detector and coincidence electronics. And then what you can do is, when your two photons are fully indistinguishable, and when your beam splitter is symmetric, you will have bosonic coalescence. If you have one photon here and one photon here, they always come out together. You will get either two photons here and zero here, or zero here and two here. And this is the so-called on-Gumandel effect. So this was done in many hundreds of experiments, maybe thousands. Here it was done on a chip with this kind of platform. And that was the first ingredient. Then I only would like now to show you a bit which kind of device we can now have with this platform and how we can combine them. So the first device was a directional coupler, as I said, a beam splitter.
Can I slow you down? I think a silly question. So you just did one approach of these two waveguides.
Yes.
What if you do a second approach?
That's this one. So we will have many of them now. So it's perfectly online. So we said one. So this device here, we have 64 of them. And that's how we do a quantum work. So these are many, many concatenated beam splitters. So if you see the following picture, light goes from left to right. You have many concatenated beam splitters. And the colored boxes represent different phase contribution. This means that these are many, many interferometers, and during the fabrication of all these interferometers, you can engineer the phase contribution of each arm. I will then provide more details on that. And that will be how we implement the quantum work dynamics, how we do quantum simulation. And then I will focus on that. Then we could have other devices on the chip. We could have logical gate, like control knot. We could have rotational polarization, but this is not useful today. And all these devices I'm showing here are stays forever, in the sense that once you fabricate your device with laser writing, in principle, the chip is always giving you the same transformation.
How similar are different control knots, for example?
So typically, we say the fidelity, if you do two fabrication and you control them, typically it's 99.98 fidelity.
For a single one?
Yeah. So the reproducibility is it's around 1% of errors. Nothing. That would depend typically from the specific transformation. So now the following step that I've been doing recently, if you would like to have a device that you can reconfigure, so that if you want to change your dynamics, you don't need to fabricate a new device. And this can be done in the following way. These are the waveguides. These are the beam splitter. So in that case, you have several concatenated beam splitter. And what you can do, you can have some local heating. So you have some resistor. You send a current. You locally heat your device. By locally heating the device, you change the index of refraction, and then you change the phase. So with the following device, you can locally change the phase here, 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 and here, and so on. And by locally changing the phase, you can change the kind of unitary transformation that you are implementing. So this is conventional with other technological platforms, but not for this laser writing technique. And so we introduced this capability very recently. The first is an interferometer, that's a Mach Zehnder interferometer, where you can add one here controlled parameter that you can change. This was the first experiment. Then we had more complex one like this one, where we could have four different parameters that we could change. And by this approach, we could perform quantum contextuality on the chip. And then this is something that I'm going to show you later. It's a kind of programmable simulator. It's some several chips where you can have some parameters that you can change again, and this change the kind of dynamics that you are implementing. And then finally, that was a more recent result, you can also generate photon pairs on the chip. So all these were only manipulation of light, and generation was done via standard techniques. In that case, you can have the generation also inside your device. And then finally, something that I'm going to also exploit later on. As I told you, when you fabricate, you can also move your chip up and down. So while typically you have planar structure, in this case, you can have a two-dimensional device where waveguides are going up and down. And by going up and down, you can have some new kind of geometry. The first that we implemented was a tweeter. So a tweeter, it's a generalization of a beam splitter from two optical modes to three optical modes. So in that case, you have three optical modes in, three waveguides using a 3D layout. They go closer in the central part, and then they come apart. And that's the tweeter. And then this can lead to new kind of Ongu-Mandel effect. Then you can generalize the tweeter. You can have a tetrater, which is a four-mode splitter, where you have four input modes and four output modes. And then you can go to eight, and so on. And then you can also do some pretty strange structure, where waveguides are going up and down, left and right, along the propagation. And by this fancy structure, you can simulate some other kind of dynamics. So I will show you how you can simulate the quantum transport of particles of light inside the maze, and how is the transport within a maze is affected by noise. So that's the kind of simulation of an open quantum systems. So that's why I'm here, hopefully. Let me know, we don't want to see this part. Let's jump now. So how we perform quantum simulation with this approach? The way we approach quantum simulation is by adopting the concept of quantum work. So we are familiar with the concept of classical random work, a worker which is moving along a line. We have a stroboscopic evolution. This is the hour of time, which is discrete. And this is the line where the particle is walking. Each step, you toss a coin and you go left and right. When you have a quantum walk, what you have is your particle is quantum, your coin is quantum. Again, this is the hour of time, and this is the line where the quantum man is walking. And this we will call this a one-dimensional quantum walk, because the line where the particle is moving is 1D. And our goal was to implement this kind of dynamics on a chip. Obviously, I don't need to explain you what's the difference between classical and quantum. If you start with a not biased classical random walk and what we call an ordered quantum walk where all the dynamics is fully symmetric, you will get two completely different kind of dynamics. You will get a diffusive behavior in the classical scenario and the ballistic one in the quantum scenario. So we see a strong difference between the two, and that's only the starting point for the following experiment. So the idea is, okay, I want to take this picture here, and I want to move this picture inside an experiment. So, and that's how you do the translation. This is experiment layout. This experiment layout is simply translating this scenario inside the photonics one. Light is coming, your particle are photons, these are your walker. Each step of the quantum walk is essentially a beam splitter and a phase shifter. And in this picture, this is the hour of time, the vertical line, which is stroboscopic, and this is the horizontal line where the particle is walking. And so each step of the quantum work is in a horizontal line. So this is now how we are going to implement this quantum work. And then you can do this experiment with single particle. It will be a single particle quantum work, or you can send many particles and you will have many particle quantum work. And then by changing the phases, which appears on the following scheme, you will change the kind of quantum work that you are implementing in your lab. So this is our approach to quantum simulation. Obviously, if you want to do this experiment, this is like many, many Mach-Zehnder interferometers, all concatenated. So if you want to do this on optical tables, that will be a mess, because we need, after all, the phase to be locked and so on. So you need to have some more fancy schemes to have this implemented. So this is a kind of summary which show you how you can have a photonics quantum work implemented. I'm going to show you this one, which is on-chip device, where the quantum work occurs in the path of the particle. And this is the one we implemented in Rome. Then you can have other quantum work, which I'm not showing you, done by other groups. Some use fiber loops. Someone use orbital angular momentum of light. Some use bulk optics. This will be our scheme. So I'm going to first show you a discrete quantum work where the evolution is stroboscopic, first step, second step, and so on. But then using waveguide arrays, you can also have a continuous times quantum work. So in that case, what you have many waveguides shown here. These waveguides are coupled during the propagation. And then using this kind of platform, you can have simulation of quantum work on the planar model with two-dimensional structure and so on. And that's what I'm going to focus on, these two schemes. So let me go back to this implementation of quantum work. So the first idea that we had is what can be, we want to implement a discrete quantum work on the chip. And this is the scheme I've shown you where you have the worker. And we have been looking at the beginning to a first interesting scenario to simulate. And the first idea was to simulate Anderson localization. So when do you have Anderson localization? When you have a static disorder. So, which means that your disorder is depending on the position, but not on the time. So we can have a look to the following map, where I repeat, this is the time and this is the line where you're working. And I represent with different colors, different operations on the quantum coin. When you have the same colors, this means that you have the same operation on the coin. So if you have the following picture, we see that when you are in this position, independently from the time, you always have the same operation. When you are on a different side here, your operation will change, but it will always keep the same, and so on. So you expect that this kind of disorder pattern should lead to Anderson localization if your time evolution is long enough, because you have a disorder which is depending on the position, but not on the time. And that's what we wanted to implement. So we can start with one particle quantum work. This is the structure that you have in mind. If you don't have any disorder, so in the noiseless case, this is the dynamics that you observe. If you measure the position of the particle here, you will get such kind of distribution. If you now start adding some noise according to the following pattern, which represents a static disorder, you will start observing the emergence of localization in the center. If you increase the noise and if you increase the time of the simulation, diffusion will be completely suppressed and you will observe the typical decay which characterizes Anderson localization. So now that's what we want to implement. So how we implement this scheme, as I said before, we move the following scheme to the following scenario, many bit splitter, all concatenated. if you want to implement an ordered quantum walk, you will have all the paths equal in order to have always the same phase. That will be an ordered dynamics. If you want to simulate Anderson localization, you will need to have the following map, where when you are along the same vertical line, you always find the same phase. When you change horizontal position, the phase changes. So this is a concept. Now you need to have this kind of device with a sufficient number of steps in order to simulate your dynamics. And this is what we implemented. So this is our chip. You have to rotate your mind by 90 degrees because now the orientation is that light go from left to right. So this is the hour of time. You inject single photon from these modes. This is the first step, second step, third step. This is the output of your device. So this is the one-dimensional line. And now what you want? You want to have many beam splitters all concatenated, and you want to have the different phase contribution. How you can have the different phase contribution? Doing the writing of the waveguides in a very controlled way, you can increase or decrease the length of the arm of each interferometer. This means that during the fabrication, you decide what phase you want to imprint, and depending on the phase you want to imprint, you will calibrate properly the length of your arm. And then you can fabricate a chip which has the following structure. This was so our device now is 64 beam splitter and 64 phase shifter. What you want to do, you want to inject light from this side. You measure all the output of your device, and you can do the experiment with one photon or two photons. With one photon, you will have single particle quantum walk, and with two photons, you will have two particles quantum walk. Then you repeat the experiment many, many times, and you collect the statistics on the output. So this is now the experimental apparatus. You generate your quantum state of light. You inject the light in the chip. Light evolves, interferes. You have the output. And then you can perform either a single photon experiment, that will be a single particle quantum walk, or you can perform a two-photon experiment, and this will be a two-particle quantum walk. And now this is the results. So on the left side, I'm reporting, let me add one component. That we can also play a trick. We can also inject entangled photon pairs. So when you send two photons, so two photons are entangled in the polarization degree of freedom. And then you can send either singlet or triplet state of the state HV plus VH. And then by changing the symmetry of the entanglement between symmetric and anti-symmetric, you can simulate different particle statistics. If you send HV minus VH, you will simulate fermionic statistics. If you send HV plus VH, you can simulate bosonic statistics. So you can also do in this experiment, you can work with two particle fermions or two particle bosons, which are indistinguishable but not interacting. There is no interaction. So say that this is what you obtain. Here you have a quantum walk with longer chip, such as four steps, quantum walk, six steps, eight steps. You can have bosons and fermions, where you change between boson and fermions by changing the symmetry of the entanglement. And this is a distribution probability that you measure. You get one photon. This is the output mode for the first photon, the output mode for the second photons, and this is the distribution probability that you measure. What you see here is when you have an ordered dynamics. And you see a difference between bosons and fermions. When you have bosons, this is a diagonal. So this is a tendency of bosons to go together. And this is anti-diagonal. And so you have two kinds of dynamics. Either they like to go together, or they like to go to opposite side. When you move to fermions, diagonal is vanishing, because obviously they are fermions. And so you have only keeping this tendency. Obviously, we don't have perfect fermions. We are simulating fermions using entanglement. This means that the diagonal is not really vanishing, because our anti-symmetry is not perfect. So this dynamics was an ordered quantum work. And now what you can see on the right side is you change the chip and you use a chip with a static disorder. And now what you can clearly observe is that the wave packet is localizing in the center. And this is the Anderson localization.
On the previous set of pictures, if you had perfect chip,
yes.
How does that look? How different is it?
This one.
Yeah.
So in that case, you will have something here that will be completely zero. I can have a slide to. Let me see if I have the right extra slide.
We can wait to present until after the talk. It's too hard.
No, but it's there.
Okay.
Here you have Turing experiment. Okay. For bosons, fermions, and we could also simulate anions when the state had not fixed, which was not zero and pi. So this is theory and this is experiment for the different contribution. And the agreement is 98%, more or less. So,
and how many steps is it? It's four?
In that case, that was a four step. That was a shorter chip. Typically, when it gets longer, obviously, the overlap decreases a bit, but there is quite a good agreement between the two. So you see in that case, with this picture, the difference between boson and fermions is very clear.
And anions you get by varying the phase in the entanglement.
Exactly. And that's how you can simulate two anionic particles as statistics. Okay, so I go back to that slide. And so what you see, that's rules 4, 6, and 8, and now you see the localization. And so now you can observe that's the many-particle localization, because it's two particles, which are not interacting, they are only indistinguishable. And what you can then quantify, I'm not showing these extra details, how localization occurs differently if you're fermions or bosons. Because bosons like to localize and also like to bunch together, so these two effects are summing up, while fermions like to localize, but not so much, because they cannot stay. So they still are in the center, but with some kind of clouding effect.
No.
Okay, it was 5 minutes, okay. So this was to give you, I wanted only to show you the recipe that we can have, because then you can change the phase pattern and you can go for different dynamics. So I only would like to comment that we could also, by using a similar scheme, simulate this entanglement grow after a spin chain quench. I'm only giving the title because you are the way to map this using fermions, and then you can simulate fermions using photons which are entangled. But to give you another now flavor, this was a one-dimensional chip, because so you had, it was planar. This means that in your evolution, the depth of the chip was the time, and the other component was the 1D quantum work. But also, you can also fabricate devices which have a three-dimensional layout. And when you have a chip with a three-dimensional layout, the depth of the chip will be the time, and you can get the quantum work in a 2D pattern. And this is a kind of summary of experiment done by our groups, but also other groups, where you can see how they could simulate. For instance, we simulated particle statistics in quantum decay and fan interference. Others simulated this kind of cross scheme and other kind of scenario. So I would like to conclude with this maze simulation that we implemented. This was a collaboration again with obviously Milano, and also Filippo Caruso in Florence. And the idea was to simulate what is efficiency to get out or in from a maze when you have a quantum particle and when you have noise. And you would like to see, okay, I want to get in or out of this maze, how is my quantumness affecting the efficiency of the transfer, and how is the noise affecting my transport efficiency. And so our goal was to implement the following maze, where you have an input, you enter in the maze, and you have a sink, and when you get to the sink, you get out from your device. And then you have different sides, so when you come out from this, you can go left and right, and so on. And so you have overall 17 sides, which represent your maze, where then 17 is a kind of diode. So when you are on 17, you can only go to the sink, and you never come back. So we wanted to implement this structure and then send quantum particle in this structure. So let me go back to this. After how you can implement this with waveguide. So what you can do an unfolding of the maze, and you get the following structure. So you have to imagine now that you have a three-dimensional chip layout. When you go in this direction, it's the length of the chip, so it's a time. And what you see on the slide is the cross-section of the chip. And the cross-section of the chip gives you the geometrical structure of your maze. And this, so for instance, if you look here, these are the 17 nodes, which are 17 waveguides. Each node is a waveguide. If you look at waveguide 2, it's coupled with waveguide 1, 6, and 3, which is what you see here. From 2, you can go in 1, 3, and 6. So this is a way to unfold the maze and implement the maze as a geometry of many coupled waveguides. And the propagation inside the waveguides represents the arrow of time. And now, how you implement the sink? The sink is something where when you go in, you don't want to go out. It should be a kind of diode for single particle. And what we did is a sink where many, many, many waveguides, so that light will evolve in this direction, but will never come back, because if you consider how long is your time evolution and how many waveguides you have here, it's not enough to bounce and come back. So this is at the end how you implement your maze. And what you do, you want to send single particle from an input here, and see where light is coming out. So what you can do, you can now do this experiment in several conditions. You can have first an implementation where you don't have noise, so it's a truly quantum maze, and you have a uniform structure. And then doing the writing techniques, you can add some noise. And this will behave as an open quantum system, and then you can replicate the experiment, and your goal is to measure what is the probability of getting light in the sink. Is it increasing when you have some noisy structure? So what you do, you measure the intensity here, and you measure the intensity here, and you compare them. And then you can see if your transport is increased as efficiency when your structure is noisy. So now this was what we did. It was only a summarized experiment to summarize that we can have 1D quantum work with a stroboscopic evolution. We can have 2D quantum work with continuous quantum work. And now we are performing other kind of experiment, but I will be very glad to discuss the possibility of implementing other kind of dynamics with such kind of platform. So these are my collaborators, and so thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Fabio. We have a few minutes for questions, please.
Did I miss the punchline at the end? Is the noise help or hurt?
Yes, so let me show the theoretical prediction. This is a maze. So this is the size of the maze. N, how many sites are there? This is the transport efficiency, so the probability to get out at the end. The black is the quantum work, which is fully quantum. The red is a classical quantum, a classical random walk, and the blue one is what you get if you have 10% of noise. And this is noise enhanced quantum transport. So Susanna knows these topics much, much better than me, but the idea here was to implement this within this quantum maze structure. So the optimal, what Filippo Caruso found, is that the optimal noise to enhance your transport efficiency is 10%, and this is, in our experimental implementation, we could not achieve this amount of noise, because the chip was not long enough. We could have a noise of 2-3%, but we could really clearly see that this was improving the escape efficiency in our experiment. And I would say, in a simple way, when you have some extra noise, this avoids you, your particle, to get trapped somewhere for destructive interference. So by adding this noise, this helps you to avoid this trapping by interference in some path, and this increases the way that you have to escape from the structure.
So the noise is added the same way you were adding it before when you were looking at Anderson localization?
Yeah, so in that case the noise was really doing, in that case it's continuous. When you write your device, you make your laser noisy, right, and this gives you some randomness in the phase. And that's the kind of noise contribution.
So another way of looking at this maybe is that Anderson localization keeps you near the entrance, doesn't let you get to where you fall.
Exactly. So if you have some, if you do some noise, you break the static, this local, exactly. So that's one of way of approaching it.
So you will always have a dependence, let's say, between the efficiency of the transfer and the intensity of the noise that is not monotonic. So there is a range where
people will assist. And yeah, that's what we could observe.
One question then, how did we inject light in the experiment of the maze?
So in that case, you have an integrated chip device, mm-hmm. And so typically the injection of light is doing by using, you have your chip, and it's directly from a single mode fiber.
Experiment where, let's say, the injection could be thermal versus one where you could selectively inject, let's say, if I look at it from the geometrical viewpoint, such that you really have what would be equivalent of having a single form of injection.
Yeah, you can engineer. You can engineer, I mean, almost any input state on your device. The only limitation typically are losses. So typically you can implement experiments with one particle, two particle, three particle, and you can also, so essentially when we have this integrated chip now, compared to this one like this, you can see from this is your chip, and what you have here, you have a fiber arrays. This means that you can inject light in any of the optical modes of your device. That would depend. So in the natural communications, there were 17, and the sync was something like 50. Because the sync, we wanted to have something where light within the length of the chip could not achieve the boundary and come back.
No, but I mean in between the different waveguides.
Yeah.
So it's three or four. How many can talk to each other?
How many? So I will be simplified. That says if you look at the following geometry, what we found is that you don't have only first neighbor coupling. So for instance, if you look at the following structure here, this will be coupled here and here, but also you will have a coupling between this and this. So you have to include also coupling in diagonal. While the second coupling here is negligible because it's decaying exponentially.
Okay, thank you, Fabio. Fabio thank will you. Be here in the next week, so if you have more questions,
yeah, or
just
potential idea, we'll be very happy to discuss any potential platforms.
Thanks again.
Thank you.